Welcome to Rhema for Today.
And the reason I want to deal with this is because as a minister for 41 years, I have found that we are entering into a period of time where we find more people in a stressful condition and under stress, it seems, than in any other time of the year.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. We went into Rhema's archives and chose Kenneth Hagin's teaching, Keeping Stress from Becoming Distress. This will be a great week of teaching. Also, later in today's program, I will tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth Hagin with today's message.
Did you know that stress and being stressed out is nothing new? I mean, it happened in the Bible. I want to talk about keeping stress from becoming distress. This is a time of a season and a time of year and a season of the year, I guess I should say, in which many people become very, very stressed out and very stressful and so forth and so on. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 21, we find the story of Elijah. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain the prophets with his sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And then you can read all the way down there. And then he comes to where the Lord fed him and took care of him. And then the Lord, down in verses 11, it says, and he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And there was a great strong wind that rent the mountains and break it to pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a small voice. And that was the Lord." Let's talk about stress for a minute. You begin to see that stress over an extended period of time will give you a tremendous problem. Stress over a period of time will become distress to you. Now, as we begin to look at this, we begin to see that it has a negative effect upon us emotionally, upon us physically, and can have a negative effect upon us spiritually also. Because many times when we find ourselves in this position, instead of turning to God, we run from God. Now, in Everly and Rosenfeld's book, The Nature and Treatment of Stress Response, there's about 7 myths that they list concerning stress. And the reason I want to deal with this is because as a minister for 41 years, I have found that we are entering into a period of time where we find more people in a stressful condition and under stress, it seems, than in any other time of the year. Now, the first myth is that stress-related symptoms are all in your head and therefore they can't really injure me. The second myth is that only weak people suffer from stress. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, only weak people give in to stress, and that's a myth. All of these are myths. And the third myth says, I am not responsible for the stress in my life. Stress is unavoidable these days, so we're all victims of it. The fourth suggests that I always know when I begin to suffer from excess stress. And the reality is that we don't always recognize the onset of stress. Then the fifth myth says that it is easy to identify the cause of excessive stress. And the sixth myth says that all people respond to stress in the same way. And the seventh myth is that when I begin to suffer from excess stress, all I have to do is sit down and relax. Now, all of those are myths, and many times many people say these things, but it's one thing to recognize excess stress and to sit down and relax. Now, Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, we see that he was in a stressful situation. Would you say he was in a stressful situation? Now, the issue that he was dealing with was one of intense pressure because this crazy queen had said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life. And her wicked husband, the king, went along with it. Now, if you read beforehand, you know the story of how Elijah was out on the mountain and he called a fire down out of heaven, and the fire came down and burnt the offering and licked up all of the water around and so forth and so on. And then how all of the prophets of Baal had been put down and by the sword. And so, yes, he was in a situation. Now, stress and this type of pressure that he is in here can lead to burnout. Many people experience burnout in the day and age in which we're living, but they don't have to if they learn how to understand its symptoms and then learn how to turn it around and change the situation. Now, one of the first symptoms of stress is to depreciate your own worth. Now, look at this. This is exactly what Elijah did. See, the first symptom is to depreciate our own worth. And he says here, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. See there in verse 4? He says, he requested of himself that he might die. It is enough. Oh, Lord, take away my life. He is depreciating his worth. When you reach a place of depreciating your self-worth, you are in a extreme condition. He's saying here to the Lord, Lord, I'm better off dead. I'm no good to me. I'm no good to you. I'm no good to anybody. Just take my life. Let me get out of here. Now, he really didn't want to die. Or he would have stayed where he was and he already been dead. But you see, when you get in this stressful situation like this and under the pressure, you begin to depreciate yourself and talk about how bad you are and how things are not going your way and so forth and so on. And, I'd rather be dead than to keep on living. Now, many people say these, and you hear people say this. How many of you have ever heard people say that? You may have heard somebody say it recently. They don't really mean it. They're in a state of stress and sometimes don't even realize what's going on. Now, secondly, in a symptom of stress is to underrate your work. Elijah here in verse 10, look at this. And he said, Lord, I have been very zealous. I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now he is underrating his work. See, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And he goes on to talk about, in other words, he's saying, Lord, all my work's in vain. It's not doing any good. These people are killing the prophets. I've been trying to tell these people to obey you and to do what you have for them to do. But instead, they have just rebelled and turned their back on your laws and your precepts. And they're rejecting everything I say. So what use is it to continue to try to help these people? Underrating work. Under severe stress, we begin to think that nothing makes any difference anyway, so why try? And actually, that's what Elijah is saying here in verse 10. He is telling the Lord, he said, it doesn't make any difference, so what is the use of me trying to even to preach to these people? Why do I need to try to tell them how to run their lives and how to straighten themselves up? But you see, we find that as ministers, I deal with people a lot of times that are in this category. I deal with many of the people in the church that volunteer their time, and they get to a stressful situation, and they begin to say, well, it's not doing any good. I might as well just go sit on the pew and not help anybody. I deal with it with employees. But I deal with this, and they begin to not do a good job. And you begin to try to talk to them, begin to look at them. They're under stress, and they begin to underrate or underestimate their work and what it's accomplishing and what it's doing. You know, I mean, they may be, let's say they're down in the mailroom, and all they ever see is the mailroom, and all they're ever doing is mailing out packages and receiving mail in. And you see, they get to the point, say, what good is this? What use is this? And yet, all they need to do is to read a few testimonies about people that received a word of faith just on time, that received a book just on time, that received a tape just on time. But you see, the devil likes to push us to a position that we begin to underestimate or underrate what we are doing.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Craig Hagen and Denise Hagen Burns. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagen, Kenneth W. Hagen, and the rest of the Hagen family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Lynette Hagen's CD, Navigating Life Without Stress. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagen's book entitled Jesus' Name Above All Names. We're also offering Craig Hagen's CD entitled The Mindset of a Champion. Last but not least is Denise Hagen Burns' CD entitled Holy Spirit, the Ultimate Best Friend. All these items for the special price of only $29. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagen Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Craig Hagen and Denise Hagen Burns.
Coming up next month, May the 4th, International Rhema Day. So Denise, tell us what International Rhema Day really is.
So International Rhema Day is a way for you to support, both through prayer and finances, for Rhema Bible Training College. Everybody that comes to Rhema Bible Training College is on a scholarship. International Rhema Day goes to help those students graduate from Rhema to go out into the world to bring Jesus to this entire world. And so when you partner, you can partner as an individual. Maybe you want to get a group together. Churches can participate, and you pray for Rhema, and then you support with a financial gift. And of course, tell others about Rhema. They may not know what Rhema Bible Training College has to offer.
And the way this got started is every time that we had a crusade, my grandfather always had a Rhema Day.
Yes.
And then we decided, well, let's make one day International Rhema Day and invite churches all around the world to take up a special offering for Rhema Bible Training College to help with that scholarship.
Like, yes. I said,
keeps our tuition very, very low.
Very low.
Just encourage you, if you want to get involved in International Rhema Day, go to rhema.org /IRD and find out more information.
Yes.
About that.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll-free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth Hagen will continue his series, Keeping Stress from Becoming Distress. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagen.